So, how many of the ladies already have your ticket to Women Walk Conference? You've registered, you're ready, you're bringing all of your tribe. If you're still wondering, is it worth it? Do I do it? Can I do it? God will make a way when you decide in your heart to do it. And let me tell you what, God spoke to me a while back at our Women Rock PM that this conference, as each message comes, it's going to be a wave upon wave of His presence. Each message building on the next for breakthrough. You've got some things in your heart and in your life that you're believing God for. Some areas that you feel like there's been walls. God's going to knock them over and bring freedom like never before, but you've got to get here. You've got to determine that you want it. You've got to press in. You've got to decide, this is how I'm going to fight my battle with my sisters. I'm going to get into the house of God and let His word pour over me until it breaks through and does what only the word of God can do. So just be encouraged. Get there. Don't hold back. Don't miss it. Don't the next day wish you had been there. Don't miss it. All right? All right, and invite everybody you know. I invited everybody I know. So hallelujah. So good to be in the house of God with you tonight. What an honor and a privilege to stand and break open the bread, break open the word of God together. And I believe that God has a word for each one of us tonight. I believe that the Holy Spirit's here to minister to us. He is the teacher of the church. So if you'll open your hearts with willingness, just like you pressed into worship, just like you cried out to God, believe that. Just like you stood in His presence, believing that He was here ministering to you, equipping you, building up your spirit man as you worshiped, right? As you went into His presence and making all of those things become your perspective, right? This is how I fight my battle. Even though I might look surrounded, right? I'm surrounded by Him. Those are faith declarations that it doesn't matter what it looks like around us, but when we walk in and we press into God, things are different. Things are changed. Nothing will ever be the same again. And so tonight, as we open the word, press into that. Believe that the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, is here, and He has a specific word for you. That He has something that He wants to teach you, encourage you, and equip you with His word so that you can go out and do the work of the ministry, so that you can go out and be what God has called you to be. Will you agree with me with that for tonight? Yeah. Father, we thank You for Your presence in the house. We thank You, God, oh, that You are always working and that You have already been working in our midst. I thank You, God, for people tonight who were already healed, who have already received a touch from Your Spirit that they needed, who are already encouraged and changed and transformed, and whose lives were down and now are up. People who already, Father God, were looking at circumstances, but now our eyes are shifted to You. I thank You, God, that You are already moving. And as we open Your word tonight, teach us, Spirit of God. We're here, we're willing. We ask that You, Lord God, would not just bless us tonight and have Your presence in our midst, but also every gathering of the saints in this inland empire, Lord God, where the people of God are coming together to worship You, to lean into You, to learn Your word. Father, we thank You that You bless them, that You strengthen them, oh God. Unite our hearts together as one body, Lord God, called to this area to do the work that You have called us to do. We thank You for the honor and privilege of Your presence, the honor and privilege of gathering in the house. I thank You for every saint that is here, Lord God, and what You have for them. And those who are going to come to know You tonight, Father, we thank You for what's ahead of them. In Jesus' name, we give You the glory and the honor. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I want to talk to you tonight about being well-built. I'm going to take you to a very familiar passage in the scripture. So if you have your Bible, if you'll go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We find Jesus here talking to people who are following Him. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, we find this. Most of us may be familiar with this if you've been in church for any length of time. Jesus says this in verse 46 and on. He says, why do you call Me Lord? Remember, Lord is a symbol of authority, a master, someone you would follow, someone whose ordinance you would obey. Why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to Me and hears My words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. I want to spend some time tonight in verses 46 through 48 and what Jesus tells us about being well built. The evidence that he gives in this passage about a well-built house, I find it interesting that he doesn't tell us what the houses look like. He doesn't tell us how the well-built house on the good foundation and the house that collapsed, were that they were different. He doesn't focus on the structure and the thing that you would see on the surface. What he focuses on is on the foundation. Jesus never implied that you would see any difference on the outside in the first look, in the external appearance of one house that had a good foundation and a house that didn't have a good foundation. But what made the difference was when the flood actually occurred. What made the difference was when the shaking happened by the flood. It wasn't until that moment that it became evident which house was well built and which house was missing a solid foundation. If you look at verse 48, and when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it. I don't know about you, but I want that to be me. That's the life I want to live. The house that God is building in my life, that we are building together, I want it to be the unshakable kind, right? The kind that doesn't fall over every time a flood, a shaking comes in my life. But I don't know about you, but there's shakings that come in my life, right? Well, I've been through a few shakings. I've seen a few floods come my way. And the way that I react tells me a lot about what's happening in my heart. Has it been well built? And I think we can reflect on that question, and we can ask ourselves, in our soul, where we're building the life that God has called us to, are we well built? Have we laid a solid foundation? You know, I looked up this idea of flood, and one of the definitions says a flood is an overwhelming quantity or volume. I've had periods of in my life when I've had an overwhelming quantity or volume of things that I thought could have taken me out, that caused me to struggle, right? That caused me to question if I was strong enough in a particular area. I can share with you one that I struggled with for a long time. There were many, many years when I was right here in this house serving God, loving God, building my life on God, doing everything that He called me to do. But then when I would go home on a Sunday afternoon after I'd been with my family and rejoiced with my family and enjoyed the company of everybody who was here, and as soon as I'd get home, this great sense of loneliness would overwhelm me. And I didn't know what to do about it. And I would go through time, and every Sunday, and the other time it would hit me, being a single woman, was on Friday nights. But I serve and I love your people and I love you, God, and you're the center of my life and you're everything to me. Why am I experiencing this sense of loneliness? Why am I experiencing this depth of what I feel is isolation and lack of connection with other people that I need to sustain me, that I need to feed that part of my soul? Well, that's where my mistake was. What I didn't realize is that my foundation in that area of my soul was in the wrong place. And God had to take me on a journey to begin to pick up that foundation and place it in Jesus, who is my sufficiency, who meets all of my needs, who cares for me and loves me, and not look to other people to begin to meet that need. So emotions are a gift. You know, God has given us our emotions not to lead our life, not to direct our life, not to control our life, but they are a gift. They are a mirror into our soul. They are a mirror into the foundation. And when I would experience that emotion of loneliness, I could see an area of my life where my foundation wasn't solid. And you know what? It's a dangerous place to have an area of our life where our foundation's not in Jesus Christ, because something can come along that looks like it's going to meet that need. I thank God that nothing did. But had something come along that looked really good to my eyes, right? That was going to meet that need when I didn't have my rock, my foundation in the right place. I could have been in a dangerous position. Right? I could have begun to make decisions that I would still be paying repercussions from that today. Right? But I'm thankful for a God who kept me in that season and gave me a way out. Yeah. Floods come. You know what? Shaking's going to come. Yeah. But the question is, do we have a foundation set in our soul so that we can endure it? And if we don't, God is generous. God loves us, and he'll let us have a little shaking like I did so that we can see the areas of our soul where we need change before that big wave comes, before that flood comes that's going to knock us over. God is going to give us an opportunity to deal with it before we get to a place like that. And I'm thankful today that he did that in my life, that he allowed me to see that in my heart. Maybe tonight you're feeling a little overwhelmed. Maybe you feel like there's a flood that's doing some shaking in your soul or in your life. Maybe it's a doctor's report. Maybe it's a sudden accident, like last night my sister and my nephew had. Sudden accident, right? And we can go, if we're not grounded in the right place, we can go with our emotions and let fear reign and let react out of fear, but no. When you're grounded, you have a different response. You react out of faith. You begin to speak life over a situation. You don't know what happens, but you know God is good and God has them and they're his. And you begin to declare those things. Why? Because there's a solid foundation. But when there's not, we can allow those things to shake us. So maybe something like that can be overwhelming you tonight. Maybe there's loved ones in your life that are making poor decisions and you feel like you're helpless and hopeless because you can't help them. Maybe your business is disappointing you. Your job is not recognizing your value, not paying you what you think you're worth. Maybe your relationships they've moved on or they've entered new seasons and things seem estranged and you don't know what to do with it. Maybe you're in a ministry here and you have new leaders. Maybe there's changes going on and you're not sure. Is it overwhelming? What do I do? How do I react to these changes, oh God? They can look so different in every one of our life depending where we are and how we're serving. Maybe you're overwhelmed by the things you see in the culture and the education system and the decisions that are being made about education in California and you don't know what to do. The flood is different. The shaking is different for every one of us. I'm reminded of the building I'm in now. I'm a high school chemistry teacher, and the building I'm in is only about 19 years old, 18 years old. So it was built up to a different earthquake code. So when an earthquake comes, an earthquake, you know, in California, we don't have a lot of floods right here where we live, but we sure do have a lot of earthquakes, right? There's a lot of shaking like that. And when I'm in that building and there's an earthquake, we have this really interesting experience. We kind of roll. And the kids know it, and we know because that building was built to a different code, and that code has the ability to absorb those earthquake shakes and jolts in such a way that it kind of is like, oh, earthquake, no big deal, we keep talking, right? But the house I live in is about 40 years old, and that's a different code. And when the shaking comes, it's a different experience. And there's some different sounds and there's some jolting. I'm afraid there's going to be a crack somewhere, right? Because it's not absorbing the shock. Anybody here, native San Bernardino people, and you've heard of the restaurant called Meatlas? Okay, come on, right? Meatlas, you know what I'm talking about, right? That building that Meatlas is in over on Mount Vernon and Fifth Street was built over 80 years ago. I remember several years ago going to Meatlas for lunch because if you live in this area and you're Hispanic, you gotta go have lunch at Meatlas. It's just, that's a rule. So we were going there and there's a sign. I remember there being a sign a few years ago, not sure if it's still there. Something to the extent of, if there's an earthquake, you're gonna die. No, it was not what it said, but that's how I read it, because it was definitely letting you know that there was nothing about this building, these bricks stacked on top of each other, that were gonna withstand any kind of earthquake, right? And the difference is, it can be the same earthquake, but each of those buildings has a different foundation, right? The same thing can happen to them, but they're gonna experience different. The impact is gonna be determined by our foundation, and Jesus is telling us that we can absorb a lot, right? That we can withstand a lot if we are well built. And he describes to us what that means. Let's go ahead and take a look there again. It says, If you actually, I thought it was interesting, if you read this verse instead of in Luke, you read it in Matthew, it says like this, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. If you were in church this morning, we learned a lot about getting some wisdom, right? Pastor Dan went through three things: fear God, ask for it, and operate in it. If you didn't get that message, you need to get that message. It was a good word for having a solid foundation, getting some wisdom, because it's a wise man who builds his house on the rock. So tonight, I want you to take a look and just consider and experience for a moment, what is it in my life? What are my emotions telling me? Where am I overreacting? Where am I jolted by a circumstance? Where is the situation? Is there a situation in my life that's so consuming my mind? And even though I know I can give it to God, I just can't let it go. It's so affecting my relationships, I just can't let them go. You know, our emotions tell us what's going on. Don't ignore them. Use them as a God-given tool. God-given tools will reveal the battles and the struggles in the areas of your own soul that can be out of order, that are lacking a solid foundation, that where you need to lift the anchor and place it in Jesus, because He is the anchor of our soul, the Word of God tells us. He is the anchor of our soul. So He says this. He says, He is like a man building a house who dug deep. And he laid a foundation on the rock. Now let's be clear here. Jesus is the rock, right? 1 Corinthians tells us the rock was Christ. Right? Psalms 118 calls Jesus the cornerstone. And then that's quoted over and over again in the New Testament that Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the rock that is being referred to here. So what do we do? What do we do when we realize that there's areas in our soul that we need to dig deep and lay a new foundation? When I was going through that struggle, and it isn't a struggle I had for a day, it's a struggle I had for years. Years of Friday nights and years of Sunday afternoons. Boy, I couldn't wait for Sunday night service. Why? So I could go be with the people I love and be loved on and love on them. But why was I struggling in that afternoon? God, why? I must ask that question 1,000 times if I asked it at all. I must have cried out from that position, having the best morning and the best evening, but that afternoon and those Friday nights, oh, they were the worst. I'm still single, but I love my Sunday afternoons and my Friday nights. Why? Because my anchor is in a new place, right? But in order for that to happen, there's some things that I had to do, and I want to share those with you tonight, right? The first thing that I want to talk about tonight is, the first thing that I had to do is I had to be honest. I had to be honest about what I was really building in my soul with the longing and the desires and the pain and the questioning. What had really been built in that area of my soul? Was Jesus really my foundation? And if He was, why was I going through all that? Why was I letting that emotion basically steal my joy on Friday nights and Sunday afternoons? So I had to be honest about the gap between what God's Word said, that He is my sufficiency, that He places the solitary in families, that He who wants to have friends must be friendly, and what my real life was. Because this is what God's Word says, and this is where I was living. And that gap brought pain. That gap brought further isolation. That gap caused me to struggle because I knew the truth, but I wasn't experiencing it in my own life. So as I said earlier, emotions are a mirror to our soul, but I also believe that in being honest, emotions are conversation starters. They're conversation starters. You need a conversation starter with God? Talk to Him about how you're feeling. God, this is how I'm feeling. God, this is where I am. God, I need to be honest and stop trying to put Band-Aids over what's happening inside of me and bring it to You and have an honest conversation about, I see what's in Your Word and I believe Your Word and I want to walk in Your Word, but this is my reality. This is where I'm living twice a week and this is the struggle, right? So maybe tonight there's areas where you have a gap. Maybe there's some confusion, but you know the word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path, and you're going, and why am I confused? Right? Why is there a difference between what God's word says? Maybe there's some financial areas that you're struggling with, and you know that God is your provider, that he will give you everything that you need, that he is the owner of a cattle on a thousand hills, right? That he shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And you're going, God, why am I having such a hard time pressing into and acknowledging those things? Maybe you're weary tonight and you're saying, God, your word tells me don't be weary in well-doing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Why am I still experiencing this emotion? Maybe you're struggling tonight with being impatient or unkind or unloving or frustrated in areas of your heart. Let me tell you something that I learned from our pastors right here. God can handle your honesty. God can handle your honesty. Right? He already knows it, by the way, but he wants to hear you pour it out, because the Bible tells us if we draw near to him, he's going to draw near to us. So you go first. Hebrews 4:16 promises this to us. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I had come to a moment where I had heard somebody say, right, if nothing changes, everything stays the same. And I thought, that's obvious, but when I applied it to my situation, I saw it was staying the same. I was struggling with the same things. I was fighting the same battles, and I wasn't making a change. So I had to get to a moment where I was truly, truly honest with God and not try to have a band-aid about what was happening inside of me. And once I got honest, I realized that I needed to do the next step. And that next step is confess. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And if my life is not lined up with his words, the fault is on my end, ladies and gentlemen, not on his end. I need to learn how to appropriate his promises in his word. And it begins with confession. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ in this room tonight, you know that it begins with confession. You know that God has given us a plan on how to bring change to our life. Look at Romans 10, 8 and 9. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The same way we came to Jesus that first time, confessing our sin, believing in his salvation and receiving it, and our lives were transformed, is the same way we come to God every time. We want to press further into his salvation, further into his provision, further into all that he has for us. When we want more access, there is a process called the law of faith that he has given us, that we confess and we believe and then we receive what God has for us. When I was truly honest with God, which means also I was truly honest with myself, when I was able to give expression to the difference between what I saw God promised and what I was actually living week after week, month after month, year after year, then I knew that I had to make a confession. I knew I had to bring light to the darkness. I knew that darkness could not live in the light, but you know what? I was so bound up and so ashamed by a thing that today, as I declare it, it doesn't bother me at all. But deception is that way. The enemy works that way. He makes a small thing that God can take care of, like dealing with loneliness, into this big thing that I could never speak it out. You would have never heard me tell anybody that I was lonely. Why? Because the enemy whispers that it's shameful and it's embarrassing. And everybody will know you don't have really close friends. And people will think something's wrong with you. And he wants to isolate us and keep us secret and dark. And that's how it felt inside of me. So much so that when it came to that honesty and I knew that I had to walk in the light. I knew that I had to bring confession into this area of my life for there to be freedom. I knew that something had to change so that I wasn't gonna continue year after year to live with this experience. For me, it involved other people. It involved accountability. It involved, for those who walk in the light, have fellowship with one another, right? It involved community in my life. James 5:16 says this, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I knew I had to tell somebody. Somebody who was righteous. Somebody who loved me. Somebody who feared God. I knew I had to find somebody that I can reach out to. And in my case, it was a pastor here at The Rock. But I couldn't say the words. It was so bound up with so much shame. So I sent an email. I sat in my living room that Sunday afternoon and I took out my computer and I was like, this is the hardest email I've ever had to write. Because that's how deceived I was about this huge fault, this huge character flaw that I had in my life. And I wrote an email and I said, listen, I'm lonely. I'm terribly lonely. I suffer from this loneliness every Friday night, every Sunday afternoon. It's good the rest of the week. I'm busy, I'm running, I'm loving life. Sunday mornings are awesome, Sunday nights are awesome, but in the middle, ooh, Friday nights, oh, I hate those. So I wrote the email and I expressed everything and I said, unless I shine the light, this darkness is going to continue to hold me from the inside. And you know, that email was received with so much love and so much understanding, and so much caring, and so much celebration, that when I received the caring response back from my pastor here at The Rock, it was like, wow. There was no condemnation, there was no shame. Of course there wasn't, but the enemy lies, right? He keeps us bound up in our thoughts so that I can't tell anybody, nobody can ever know, this is just my struggle, this is just me and God. But that moment, I will remember that moment my whole life, because that moment I stepped into God's way of doing things. Confess, believe, receive, confess that this thing's got a hold on me, but God says he places the solitary in families. This thing's got a hold on me, but God says if I'm friendly, I'm gonna have friends, right? He is my provider, he is my sustainer. I may be alone, but I don't have to be lonely. Those truths, we're going to become part of my salvation when I went ahead and confessed and believed. And it took community. It took me shining the light together with somebody who I trusted and loved God. I believe that that person began to pray for me after that. Began to pray me through in person, but really I think they carried me for a few years as I walked that out, as I experienced that. I don't know exactly how it happened. I don't know. I look back and I wonder, when was the moment? When's the last time I ever had that feeling? I have no idea, but I can tell you now, 15 years later, I have not experienced loneliness in more than a decade and a half. I'm still a single woman. I still have Friday nights where I'm like, what am I going to do? I have a lot to do now, right? And I still go home on Sunday morning after enjoying everybody, this great family company. And sometimes I'll read a book or do whatever I have to do by myself. But there's no sense of that emotion anymore because there was freedom. That foundation that wasn't there, that could have blown me over had something else come along, is now replaced with the Word of God. And that's the third thing we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. We need to replace a foundation. We need to dig deep and pour in the provision, the foundation that God has given us, which is His Word. We replace what's darkness in our life with God's blessing. Right? It doesn't matter if you don't feel it. It doesn't matter if you don't see it. You have to believe that God is bigger than your situation. What seemed impossible for me was possible with God when I dared to walk in obedience, when I dared to take the next step and stop trying to do it by myself, but admitting there's no foundation here. I need God's word to lay a new foundation in my life. James 1:22 tells us that we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That doesn't mean we don't hear, because that's where it started. That's where it starts, right? Faith comes by hearing. That's why we're here tonight. We want to hear. That's why we're here in the morning. We want to hear. That's why we're here when the doors are open, because we want to hear. That's why we're in God's word, because we want to hear. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible tells us that faith is what receives grace, right? Faith takes in grace. And I got to have faith so I can receive God's grace. God's grace, which is the power to do, right? The power to do. God's grace is his power to do what his word demands of me to do. God's ability on my behalf when I can't do it. That's what I had in that situation, and that's maybe what you have in an area tonight where you're overwhelmed, where you feel like a flood is coming into your life, where there are situations that your emotions are telling you, this is out of order, this is out of control. My emotions aren't lined up with what God's word says. What's going on here, Lord? We have to have grace so that we have, it took grace for me to write that email, right? But grace, it's faith that receives grace and faith that comes from hearing. But he says, we've got to be a doer. We can't just hear it. We have to act on it. We have to actually do what God has called us to do if we're going to want change. Let's go back to the passage that we started with in Luke chapter 6. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them." Sounds like James. Everyone who comes to me and hears and acts, I will show you who he is like. Who is the person who hears and acts? He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants our souls to be well built. Let's be honest with him. Let's confess where there's areas of our life that don't match up to his word, and let's replace it by faith with his word, and let the word work in our lives. Amen?
Amen. Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.